First of all, I agree with Daryl's premise that he's trying to apply, but applying it incorrectly. I agree with this premise that you always have to take all that the Bible has to say about a subject. For example, when the devil was trying to tempt Jesus, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We have to go by every word. Now, Daryl has said, okay, he's trying to put the idea in your head that in Matthew 19:9-5:32, there's some wiggle room. He said that Jesus gave another exception elsewhere, or perhaps more than one exception. I'll let him speak for himself. And that Paul did. But he didn't give us those exceptions. So even if he's right in everything he said in that speech, he hasn't done anything to destroy what I've said until he proves those exceptions from elsewhere. Because I agree with you, you've got to take the whole Bible. You see what I'm saying? You can't just say Matthew 19:9 is the only verse in the whole Bible, and I'm going to ignore everything else. No, I never meant to say that. So, Daryl, let us have those exceptions and let's deal with them. Okay? He just didn't have time that time. Now, one thing he did is he mentioned Deuteronomy 24:1-4. He did this, I think, at least in the, when he asked me that question, if I divorce Carol not for fornication, should we try to get back together if we repent? I said, yes. He said, she couldn't do it. Deuteronomy 24:1-4. I agree with that. She couldn't. But I think Daryl would agree with me. We're not under the Old Testament law. Galatians 5:4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. We're not under the old law anymore. What Jesus said is different than Deuteronomy 24:4. You can see that in Matthew 5:31-32, the passage I quoted. See if I can find that chart. Look at that. Let's read 31. It's not on the chart. It said, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Whosoever it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." Well, that's a quote from Deuteronomy 24:1. He's quoting that. He says, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery." You see the same thing in Matthew 19 where I quoted verse 9. The Pharisees are asking Jesus about divorce. He says, no, it's a bad thing. Verse 6, "We've got it joined together, let not man put asunder." They said in verse 7, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away?" They're referring to Deuteronomy 24:1-4. He says, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered or allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whoever puts away his wife except to be for fornication and marries another commits adultery." Jesus is recognizing the fact that Moses allowed this. He's saying, but that wasn't that way from the beginning, and it's not that going to be that way anymore. So there, in both cases, they bring up Deuteronomy 24:1-4, and he says, yes, that's the way Moses allowed it. That's the way Moses taught it, but it's not the same anymore. It's not the way it was from the beginning in Genesis, and it's not going to be that way anymore. So don't even think about going to Deuteronomy 24. That's not our law for today. That's not our law for today. I'm getting my tongue tied. Notice Hebrews 7:12. "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." Galatians 3:24-25. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." What's the schoolmaster? The law. That includes Deuteronomy 24. He says, once we've got the faith, the New Testament law, the New Testament faith, we're no longer under the schoolmaster, under the law. So we can't go back to Deuteronomy 24 to try to find out what God's law today on marriage and divorce is. That was God, the law for Israel on divorce and remarriage. If we did try to go back, Galatians 5:3 says we'd have to take the whole thing. He says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." If you're going to go back to Deuteronomy 24 to try to find authority for divorce and remarriage today or anything, then you're also going to have to go back and get circumcision and bind that today. You're going to have to go back and get the Sabbath and bind that today. You're going to have to go back and get animal sacrifices and bind that today. Hundreds of different laws that you're going to have to bring into the new law that aren't in the new law that Daryl does not practice. Now, let's go back to the Sermon on the Mount, one of my favorite passages, Matthew 5:6-7, the Sermon on the Mount. Daryl said he's finding wiggle room in these passages. Well, we're going to need to see where the wiggle room is. You didn't show us where any wiggle room was. You didn't show us any other exceptions to the Bible. We need to see that. He asked me to sign something to give some land to some people. And you know, I didn't sign it. And he thinks, then that shows that there's wiggle room in Matthew 5:42. "Give to him that asketh thee, for him that would borrow of thee, turn not away." But again, I accept the premise that we must accept all of what the Bible says. And you have other passages that relate to that subject. Remember, we must go by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, and Daryl knows this and would use the same reasoning as I would. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So, I do give money to the church, and I give money to people individually. But when I do, I am careful about what I give. And if they ask me, I give it to them. But they have to be deserving according to the Bible. Deserving. They can't be a person that's too lazy and won't work. They can't be a person that just, because they're not industrious and sit around and watching TV all of the time, that they need money. But if somebody who tries as hard as they can to work and follow the Bible and do what they can, but a tornado hits their house and they need some help, I'm right there giving to them. I think Harold would be the same way. All right? So yes, you must take all of the Bible. And other passages have to be taken into consideration. Not just Matthew 19:9, not just Matthew 5:32, but there is a big difference here. And here's what the difference is. I want you to look at Luke 16:18. Here's a passage I didn't bring up before. Luke 16:18 states this general rule, and then Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32 give an exception. In Luke 16:18, though, the exception is not there. The Bible says there, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another, committeth adultery. You see, there's a rule that it's wrong to divorce and remarry, and if you do, it's adultery. But it doesn't give the exception. If I'd have read that to begin with, Daryl could say, there's some wiggle room there. Okay, you know where the wiggle room is? And where all the wiggle room is? It's in Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32. Jesus says the same thing in Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32. It's here. He says, if you divorce and remarry, it's adultery. But he gives an exception that's not stated in Luke 16. He says, unless it's for fornication. That's the only wiggle room you'll ever find anywhere in the Bible on that rule, the rule being if you divorce and remarry, it's adultery. You say, how do you know it's the only wiggle room you'll find? There may be another place that tells another scriptural cause for divorce. That's why I brought up this chart. To show that the way that Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32 is worded, it's giving the only wiggle room to Luke 16:18. Luke 16:18 is the rule. If you divorce and remarry, it's adultery. Are there any exceptions to that? There could be 10 exceptions. You have to take all the Bible and see what they have to say. But Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32, the way they're worded, they're saying this is the only exception to that. Because they use the word except. And that means when you use the word except, that means this is the only exception. Let's see if that's true. In John 3:3, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can we know from that passage that that's the only way to get to the kingdom of God? Or do you think there may be another passage in the Bible somewhere else that says, you know, there's another way you can go to heaven besides being born again. And here's how you do it. You run a 4-minute mile. And if you can do a 4-minute mile, you get to heaven without being born again. Maybe that's in the Bible somewhere. No, you know from John 3:3, it's not in the Bible. Without even reading the rest of the Bible, you ought to read the rest of the Bible, but without even reading the rest of the Bible, you're going to know from John 3:3, this is the only way. Because it says except. You're going to know from this passage in Luke 13:3, this is the only way you can avoid perishing spiritually. Repenting. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. That's the only wiggle room right there. And you know how I know that? Because that's the force of the exception clause. It's given the only exception. You can know that there's not going to be another place, say, over in the book of Jude, someone that says, if you run a 4-minute mile, you can get to heaven without repenting. You don't have to read the book of Jude. You can know from Luke 13:3, it's not going to be there. It says, except you repent. In John 8:24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. You can know from that verse, without checking any other part of the Bible, that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. Again, there's not going to be a verse that says, you can run a 4-minute mile. If you do that, you go to heaven without believing in Jesus. Now, you can know from John 8:24, that verse is not going to be anywhere in the Bible. Because he says, except. That means this is the only way. And when I was going through this chart in my first speech, Daryl amened every one of these points. And if his amens were truthful, that meant he agreed with me, these verses prove there's not going to be another exception elsewhere. That's what he was agreeing to. Maybe he didn't realize it, but he was agreeing to this, and that's what I was saying. In John 14:6, no man cometh to the Father but or except by me. Ask yourself this question. Can you tell from John 14:6 that there's not going to be another passage in the Bible that says there's another way to get to God the Father besides Jesus, maybe by believing in Muhammad and following the Quran? Can you know from this passage, without reading any other passage, can you know for a fact there's not going to be another passage somewhere else in the Bible that says, oh, you can do it through the Quran and Muhammad? Can you? I submit to you, you can. You can know from John 14:6 when he says, "No man cometh unto the Father except by me," that the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. And there's no wiggle room except for that one way, believing in Jesus, going through Jesus to the Father. Everybody agree? Doesn't this verse by itself, can't you tell that? It's the same way with Matthew 19:9. Whoever puts away his wife except it be for fornication shall marry another, committeth adultery. Now Luke 16:18 didn't have the exception. It just said whoever puts away his wife, marries another, commits adultery. There may be exceptions to that rule. You have to search the Bible and find them all. There may be 10. But when you read Matthew 19:9, you find out for a fact there's only one. And you can know without reading any other passage in the Bible, there's going to be one, the way it's put. Just like when you read all these others up here, these other four, you knew for a fact, without reading any other passage in the Bible, this was the only way. There's no other scriptural cause for divorce and remarriage except for fornication. That's the force of the exception. You will not find another scriptural cause for divorce. Now, Darrell, when he has time, is going to give us at least two more, he said. One given by Jesus and one given by Paul. But you ought to be able to tell he must be misunderstanding those passages, because any passage he presents that says there's another exception has to contradict Matthew 19:9, the way that's put. Because this is the one and only scriptural cause. That's the way it's put. Just like the only way you get the kingdom of God, the only way you get to heaven is by being born again. And if he tries to present a passage that says, no, you get to heaven another way, other than being born again, you know he's misunderstanding it, because Jesus said right here, this is the only way. Do you see my point before I move on? Let's look back at the Sermon on the Mount. Here's another illustration where you have general rules with exceptions. But the person who's trying to give the exception is under the obligation to give it. For example, Matthew 6:14-15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now that teaches we ought to be willing to forgive others when they sin against us, right? Is there any exception to that? Is there? Harold, do you think there's an exception to that? You must forgive others when they sin against you? Okay. But is there an exception to that? Yes, there is an exception to that. In Luke 17:3, Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
So you read Matthew 6:15, it looks like you have to forgive everybody that sins against you. And you do, except there is an exception. If they refuse to repent, you're not to forgive them. Because then you're in effect telling them their sin's okay if you forgive them when they won't repent. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
But the way the process was, Matthew 6:15 was like the general rule, like Luke 16:18. The exception is in Luke 13:17-3. That's like Matthew 19:9. You see, you take the whole Bible. Now let's go back to Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount. He said he may have just misstated, because I stumble over my words way more than he does. And I know I say some things I really didn't mean to say, trying to go fast enough to get it under Willis's time limit here. But he said that every statement in the Sermon on the Mount had wiggle room. Well, I wonder if he thinks this one has wiggle room. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." I wonder if there's some wiggle room on that. Well, yeah, there's a few exceptions to that. You just need to seek first the kingdom of God 90% of the time. Or maybe if you really like to seek it first, maybe you seek it second. There's a little wiggle room there. I wonder if Darrell really meant that every statement there was wiggle room. And then in Matthew 5:28, I think a passage that both of us brought up, it talks about whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. I wonder if there's some wiggle room there. I wonder if it's okay for me to look at a little pornography, or if there's a few exceptions to that. You know, maybe on Tuesdays it's okay to look at pornography, but not Sundays. Darrell, tell us if there's a little wiggle room there about pornography in that verse.
First, I don't recall saying that everything in Matthew 5 had wiggle room. I don't recall saying that. And would bet that I didn't say it.
Well,
what I said.
Hold my time.
Yeah, he asked me a question. I get the answer. No. What I said was, I gave you an example that in the Bible there are things that have exceptions and things that have not exceptions. And I gave you a couple of examples. I don't recall saying, I don't believe I did say, that everything in that sermon has wiggle room. I don't believe I said that.
Okay.
And don't believe it.
All right, then we're agreed, whether he said it or not, now we're agreed that everything in the Sermon on the Mount doesn't necessarily have wiggle room.
That's true.
So if you want to find wiggle room in Matthew 5:32, you're going to have to find it, right?
That's right.
All right. What?
about 1 minute.
Did you hold my time?
He sure did. He said 5 minutes way a while ago.
No, that was only about 30 seconds ago. Notice what the Methodist Creed book says. In 1896, no divorce except for adultery shall be regarded by the church as lawful, and no minister shall solemnize marriage in any case where there is a divorced wife or husband living. But this rule shall not be applied to the innocent party to a divorce for the cause of fornication. You know, the Methodist Church, as liberal as they are now in 1896, they understood what Matthew 19:9 teaches, don't they? They put in the creed book almost exactly like Matthew 19:9. But now, they say in 1984, where marriage partners, even for after thoughtful consideration and counsel, are estranged beyond reconciliation, we recognize divorce as regrettable, but recognize the right of divorced persons to remarry. We encourage an accepting commitment of the church to minister divorced families. Now, the first one sounds like Matthew 19:9. The second one sounds more like Daryl, doesn't it? Thank you very much for your time. Is that my time?
It is.